Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. And this beautiful rainy moon day, good for my food garden, so I'm loving that. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about faith more as trust than a system of religious doctrines, how faith is used to assist an individual in the shifting from one source of sustenance to the life force. Listen as we explain how belief is a byproduct of the union with the divine, and religion is the relinking of the individual to the new energy field, the unified field. We'll talk about the unshakable belief that comes with being in tandem with something pure, powerful, and unchanging. So welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and become united with the divine. So Swami, we've been talking a lot about faith and belief recently. So let's talk about this faith as trust. Now, how is that something that we can learn from, and how do we go about putting that into our lives?
Well, I think a big difference is that you want to make sure that faith is something that you are employing as opposed to something that you believe in. You know, because I think that's the big difference between how we use faith in Kriya Yoga as opposed to what people call, you know, having faith. Mm-hmm. Because that concept of having faith oftentimes means that you're believing in something that is like unprovable or not necessarily real, like belief in Santa Claus or belief in the Easter Bunny type of a thing. And so this is a very different dynamic, because we do need a certain leap of faith when you are leaving an energy field that is safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and you're embarking on the anxiety of entering something that is unknown, especially the concept of the life force, because you're leaving something that's visible and intangible, and you are now trying to connect to something that's invisible and intangible. But it's very important to understand that the life force is provable. I mean, there is such a thing as your number one need, the thing that is most important to sustain human life. And so the key to the whole concept of religion, this relinking to that energy field, is to have some sort of way of pointing yourself in the right direction.
Well, I have a question for you. Every night, you know, we read these daily passages, and they have to do with, you know, these stories in the Bible, and a lot of them have to do with faith. And I have a question about the story of Job and his faith. You know, here was a guy that was afflicted with many upsets in his life. He lost everything, and he was afflicted with all these diseases, and yet, you know, he still had his faith. So was it his faith or his belief that gets him through all these things that happened to him?
Yeah, see, I think that's a key thing that we also try and make a distinction, that belief in this model is something that comes with this connection to the life force. that it's not something that's not, it's not something any longer that is unprovable. You know that the life force is there for you, and you know that it is unchanging. And so your whole sense of well-being is completely established in a relationship with this resource. So when things do start to change, say, for example, in the physical world, the outside world, or even in your physical body, then the bottom line is that you are not this body. You are not the events, circumstances, and situations in the outside world, that you are spirit. That you have now aligned yourself with a part of yourself that is eternal and unchanging. And that will give you an anchor. I'm not saying that it will eliminate things that could possibly happen to us. I'm just saying that you can make them smaller by using this technique, but it won't negate the simple fact that we do have things that happen, and for some unforeseen reason, that, say, for example, like Job, who was somebody who had, you know, this very perfect relationship with his divinity and really didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through, but wasn't happy about it, but by the same token didn't see that anything changed with his relationship with the divine.
And isn't that the true test? And I've heard people say, or I've heard this expression that, you know, the universe or God won't deal you out of hand if you felt like it wasn't something that you could deal with and or learn from. So I've always grown up with that, you know, hearing that kind of a story. So maybe these outside events and circumstances that do happen to us for a reason, because it creates us to grow and maybe even tests our mettle.
Yeah, I've always liked that statement, you know, that concept that God will not give you more than you can handle. And yet, you know, we look around and there are institutions that are filled with those that really can't handle what it is that they're being given. And again, you know, I mean, these are things that we either accept or we challenge. And so as far as how things are manifesting, I really like using the Kriya Yoga model, that there are no accidents, that anything that's happening in your life is a direct result of some previous action or reaction to something that we ourselves actually did. So for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. And so that's the law of karma. What we're putting out is what we're getting back. And sometimes you just don't know when you're going to get back something that maybe you need to learn something from.
Would that be a situation where we don't really understand that the situation, circumstance that happens to us, we don't really know in our limited way of looking at things if situations are good or they're bad. I mean, we might think of something happening to us as being bad, but we're not looking down on top of ourselves, and we can't really see the whole picture as a general rule. So something that we may term as being bad could actually be something that is good. And I guess that is the tricky part right there, is trying to determine what's going on with me. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing?
Yeah, the whole thing of labeling good and bad, right and wrong. I kind of like the Stoics, you know, that they were indifferent to good or bad, that it just was. And I kind of agree with you that it's really hard to determine, is this good karma or is it bad karma? In teaching Theory 1, a lot of times I would always talk about someone who perhaps is born blind, crippled, or crazy, and really can't distinguish whether that's good karma or bad karma. You know, especially when, you know, we look at the hardship of some of the well-to-do people, some of these, you know, so-called beautiful people, these perfect physical specimens that are really struggling with, you know, real life circumstances and situations. So again, I mean, I don't know if good or bad is really the way of categorizing it. It's if it isn't conscious, it's unconscious or karmic, is the way that I look at it.
I think that's probably even a healthier way to even look at a circumstance or situation, not that something is good or bad, but just trying to distance yourself from what you say, labeling it, and look at it as this is just, you know, what it is, and to have this kind of indifferent approach to something. And then I think if we come from that kind of a platform, then we can turn our efforts and concentrate on, you know, learning from the experience or doing what we have to do to kind of get through whatever is going on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I also think that the whole concept of faith in Kriya Yoga isn't what we believe in. It's what we use to get from what is known to what is unknown. So having this certain leap of faith so that we can make this connection, so that we can understand this thing of religion, this relinking to a different source of sustenance, as opposed to, you know, believing in some sort of doctrine, trying to believe in something that happened thousands of years ago that can't be proved, kind of a thing. Because one of the things I notice is that belief without proof can become fanaticism. And the whole thing of Kriya Yoga is really about growing psychologically, physiologically, and spiritually, and becoming more intelligent is a platform where your psychological organs are more operative. So you have a tendency to work with things that are more factual.
I'm glad you used that expression, leap of faith, because I was going to bring that up as well. You see situations in movies, in books, and so forth, and you know all the time this one person is giving this advice. Well, you have to have this leap of faith, and if you think about that whole phrase, a leap of faith, it's kind of like, you know, jumping off of a cliff, because people don't understand what it's like to be able to believe in something. And that could be scary, I think, for some people to have this belief that XYZ is going to happen or not happen.
Yeah, and also I think when you really cross-examine it, the whole intention of religion was to separate from one source of sustenance and reconnect to a different one. And that's where that concept of the leap of faith, I think, plays out much more experientially, because, you know, you're leaving what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and you are now kind of putting all your trust in this other source of sustenance. And that's one of the reasons why I really kind of like Kriya Yoga, because it makes that transition relatively seamless, that you're not just you're not just grabbing straws. You know, all what you're doing is you're going from using something like food to validate yourself to using something that's more important, like air or prana. And so it does kind of have a handle to it.
Okay, we're going to hold that thought for a moment to pause to listen to hear a word from our sponsors. So we will be back with you shortly. If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, at this time, I think what we'll do is we'll open up the phone lines and see if anybody has any questions to ask you about our content today. So if you have a question for Swami, you can go ahead and you can ask that anytime. All right, I'm going to continue and ask you some of the questions that I have for you then, Swami. So yesterday we were listening to on YouTube a whole snippet about some Will Smith interviews that he did. And he talked about thought, and he talked about his belief system and how he works. And he was saying that you could have a talent or something, but unless you put the hard work in, you know, you could have a skill, but to really hone your skills, you have to put this hard work in. You have to really work it and to make it really something special. And I think that's something that can even be applied to even a yoga practice, for example. Like if you don't put the hard work in, if you don't put in, you know, the time and the effort, then you're not going to realize, you know, the actual benefits. So can we apply that same type of philosophy to belief and faith?
Well, I think coming back to what you're saying, I mean, the whole thing is, it's not just necessarily just being engaged in what you're doing, because one of the things we always say, practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect. So that's one of the reasons why Kriya Yoga is a path of action, and it's a path of knowledge, and it's a path of devotion. So when you're dealing with somebody who is trying to perfect a level of performance in an endeavor, I think it's a little bit different than when somebody is trying to become a whole person. And of course, you're in a different playing field, and you have different goals and objectives, because the more you read scriptures, the more you understand that there's really only one way that this goes right, and everything else was a sin. It missed the mark. And so in this endeavor, you're going to need the practice, but your practice also has to be perfect. And that's why you need a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion in order to be successful in this model. So it's different than, you know, trying to perfect the guitar or, you know, become a great swimmer or whatever.
So my mind keeps going back to, you know, folks out there who they may have had a belief in something pure, powerful, and sacred, whether it's from an upbringing or whatever, but due to life's circumstances and situations, you know, you hear this expression, well, you know, if there was a God, why would he allow war? Why would he allow people to be afflicted? Why the bubonic plague? You know, whatever, I mean, fill in the blank. And, you know, how does one get through to a person like that and try to get them to understand that, you know, there is something else out there that is animating us, that's there is something out there for us to believe in.
Okay, again, I think the thing is that for a lot of people, again, God is some person. It's this cosmic puppeteer. It's this all-knowing, all-loving, supreme being that is kind of overseeing creation. Whereas in the model of Kriya Yoga, God is the force right now supporting your life, and really nothing more. That it is your number one need. And so from that vantage point, then it's not a question of blaming events, circumstances, and situations on this cosmic puppeteer. It's a way of looking how creation is taking place, that it's interplay between these three different dimensions of reality, particles, waves, and this indivisible unified field. And it's this interplay that goes on between these forces. One is creating, one is sustaining, and one is dissolving. And the creating principle of reality is mind. So that's one of the reasons why in Kriya Yoga is so important to initially gain control of how you think, gain control of your thoughts, because that's how we're creating our reality. And I think more and more if we started to understand that God wasn't a person, but it was this energy field, and that our connection to this energy field changed who we were. Because that's one of the things that we do constantly try and bring up here, is that we need laws to uphold the conduct that we would do naturally if we were humans in the adult state. So that if we make this connection to this more subtle resource and we experience the calmness, the confidence, and the clarity that comes with that connection, and we start to see that we are much bigger than just a physical body, then our approach to life in general has completely changed, which is very different than when we are self-absorbed and we're all body-bound. And then again, you know, like we were saying, when religion becomes something that you emotionally defend, you become fanatical about this belief. Whereas in Kriya Yoga, it's not belief without proof. It's a certain sense of trust without reservation that this energy field is going to be there for me. And then when you literally rebirth your body in it and change these neurological pathways, you change the reward circuits in your brain so that now you're using what you really do need to produce this feeling in your body that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough, then you don't succumb to a lot of the things that happen to those that are disconnected from that, like the nature of greed. And if you eliminate greed from the equation, look at what happens to a lot of, why do we go to war? You know, either defending some sort of dogma that you think everybody has to follow, or because on some level you are threatened by whatever it is that is surrounding you.
So you did mention thought, and so we've been talking on other shows about the power of thought and things like that. So if people have this powerful thought that their faith is what sustains them, then that could be so, right? I mean, if we talk about how powerful thought is, then somebody could have this unshakable faith and belief.
Well, again, it's going to come back to what your faith is. You know, because that comes back to the concept of practice makes perfect when practice is perfect. Again, if you think God is a person, if you think that God is something that is invisible but tangible, then you're drawing from a resource of energy that is limiting, and you won't get the same results. Whereas if you recognize that God is this force right now supporting my life, and you totally turn your sense of well-being over to it, and you now feel connected to this life force, now you're more in compliance with what the scriptures say. You know, the Christian way of saying that was, you must love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. So that you're basically craving this void or this nothing. And the Buddha said the same thing. Buddha said the same thing in a very different way. He said we must desire nothing. There's two ways of saying the same thing, but when you go into these communities, for the most part, I mean, people are defending this concept of this image that they call God. And in the Buddhist community, I found most people were trying to stop desire, which is impossible.
You had said in classes before, you said this on the radio show too, that the concept of praying on prana, and not just pray as in P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, so pray on prana. And this is a concept where I see that God, the universe, wants us to pray, P-R-E-Y, on prana. That's what he wants, and doesn't even C.S. Lewis talk about things like that as well in his writings about that's what God wants. He wants us as his minions, you know, to know that source of energy is there and for us to be able to tap into.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we say when you make this concept of God your number one need, then, of course, you've just elevated to this position of importance that it warrants.
Well, I guess it's about that time we have to start closing down our program today. So, listeners, thank you for tuning in. You can also visit Swami on the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once there, you can also post comments and questions and curiosities about our shows and even topics for us to consider for future shows. You can also email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you'd like Swami to answer or any comments or show topics. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll celebrate Mother's Day, Kriya Yoga style. Swami, any final thoughts or comments about our show today?
No, I would just like to encourage people to keep the faith. Mm-hmm. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And I'd like to thank you, listeners, for tuning into the program, Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.